sense. Okay, this is August 3rd, and this is Back to Basics.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. Remember, we're going to do that from now on. I'm going to continue to do that till everyone, including myself, realizes that we are gods. If not the God, we are gods. We are gods in the making. We are godlings. We have a creative power inside of us that was given to us by this thing we call God, or by the Creator itself. So the reason that we do this is to have a better way of thinking about this whole thing called God, or this whole thing called religion. This teaching is a metaphysical teaching. It's completely God-oriented, but it is not religious. You may do it religiously, but it is not religion. There are no dogmas. I once had a lady say to me, oh, she just loves religious science because of all the traditions. There are no traditions. If you want traditions, become a Jew. Why are there no traditions? Because once you have a tradition, then you have to keep doing that tradition and doing that tradition. And there's no growth whatsoever. You're doing the same thing that they did 2,000 years ago. Didn't work then. It's not working now. So we have no traditions in this teaching. We have many other little things in the teaching. But this teaching is also always open at the top. It's a different way to think about things. We want to go to the idea that we did. We all say God the Father. Well, what does that mean? When we say God the Father, must mean we came from God. This creative force, this intelligence, must have created us somehow. And if it created us, don't you think we must have some of those traits? You see? You always are thinking of your earthly parents, and everyone can come up with, oh, well, so I do this because my father did it, or I do this because my mother did it, or it runs in our family, or it's because of my genes, and this, that, and the other thing. Give those ideas up, kids. That's just an earthly way of looking at something. That's a worldly way of looking at something. If you look at something through the eyes of the world, that's all you're ever going to get. If you change your mind and start to see this thing called God as a creative force that created you, and that you have those same qualities, call them genes if you want. You can call them God genes if you want. Then you can start to take responsibility for your own life and realize that anything that comes into your life because you created it. Doesn't come willy-nilly to you. And you see, that's the whole new way of thinking, because this is one of the first or second generations, in fact, my parents did not know this, and certainly their parents did not know it, that we had a choice. You see, that we are creating something. They took the whole thing as this is an experience, and this is the way it is, and this is the way things work, and they just lived through this experience. You may do that. It's one of the ways to go through this world. But we are not here to go through the world. There's a completely different way to go through life than most people do. And we have to choose a different way to go through life, a way where we know that we are creative, and that we do have this power inside of us. So that's why we're going to start trying to think of ourselves as gods and goddesses. Also, to uplift our consciousness. Who wants to think, years ago, people, what did they tell you in church? You're lower than the worms of the earth. You're lower than the worms of the earth. Now, who wants to walk around thinking that? You see, and how do you think you're going to get anywhere if in your mind you think, well, I'm just a worm, I'm just a worm, I'm just a worm. You know, but wouldn't you get much further if you thought, oh my goodness, I'm a God in the making. I have a creative power. I have a mind. I have a consciousness. I have an imagination. I have wonderful things going on inside of me. And I'm grateful for all those things. Then you start to change your thinking. You start to see things differently. Remember, you never see with your eyes. You see with your mind. You see with what your beliefs are, your perceptions, your attitudes are. And we can change those. But if anyone here thinks that you're seeing something with your eyes, that your eyes are seeing something. That is not true. That is not true. It's what you are thinking. What do you think about something? How many people do you know? Or let's take one example. Somebody's absolutely mean, hateful, and you know that that person's mean and hateful. But the other person doesn't see the mean and hateful part. They don't see that. They see the person completely different. Right? Because we're seeing with our minds, not our eyes. So that's why we're doing this, to stretch our consciousness and to finally be able to do something with our lives. You've been here, you've gone to church, you go to many things, you've read book after book, and yet most of you still haven't accomplished what you wanted. You still don't have what you want. So there has to be a way, a different way, you see. So if your thinking is not working for you now, it's not going to work for you later. You have to change your thinking. You have to change your thinking. A wise man changes his mind many times. A fool, never. Because you have to keep advancing. You have to keep thinking bigger, better thoughts about yourself and about life itself. You have to think those things. Would you turn to the person beside you and say, thank you for everything. I have no complaint whatsoever.
Thank you for everything. I have no complaint whatsoever.
Thank you for everything. I have no complaint whatsoever.
Thank you for everything. I have no complaint whatsoever. Thank you for everything. I have no complaint whatsoever.
Thank you for everything.
I have no complaint whatsoever.
Thank you for everything. I have no complaint whatsoever.
Thank you for everything.
Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever.
Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever.
Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever.
And thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. Everyone in the room knows Liz Taylor. Why is one of the reasons Liz Taylor is so popular? A lot of people just absolutely love Liz Taylor. The reason is she's never complained. Liz Taylor does not complain, nor does Liz Taylor explain. She just lives her life. She just lives her life. And this is what we have to learn to do. Now, the whole idea is to be thankful all the time. We're going to, this month is called Back to Basics. And Back to Basics is the whole idea of what we call the law. Or, you know what is the secret, you know what is many things, but it's the law. It's the law of cause and effect. So we're going to try very hard to learn this up one side and down the other so that we can use it constantly. So that it is always working for us. You see, it's always working for us whether we consciously know it or not. Whether we're consciously using it or not, it is always, always working. But one of the ways to make it work for you all the time is to be thankful. One of the ways to go through life is to be thankful. You have often heard me talk about my Aunt Catherine, who lived to be 95 years old. Aunt Catherine was not a religious person. Aunt Catherine hadn't gone to church in at least 80 years. She didn't believe in it. She figured that out in a hurry. But she never complained. She never complained about anything. And what did she do? When I asked her, Aunt Catherine, how do you do it? She said, Dallas, I control my thinking. And you see, that's what we have to learn to do. It's a mental world we live in. And we have to take charge of our thinking And we do not do that. We do not take charge of our thinking. We take charge of it sometimes, and then sometimes we just get lazy and we just let it do anything it wants. If you do not take charge of your mind will take charge of you, and I will tell you. It will take you where you do not want to go. It will take you where you do not want to go. So learn to control your thinking. Learn to control your thinking. So, let's talk a moment. You've often heard me say, we live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. So now let's say, we live, move, and have our being in the law of cause and effect. Metaphysically, if you're reading the Bible, anytime you see the word Lord, you change it to law. It works so much better if you change it to law. So what we want to learn here is some new way to approach this thing, to see this thing. You see, we've been steeped in centuries that it's a punishing God, or it works sometimes, it doesn't, or a capricious God and all that. Let's just forget God altogether. You see, I'm sure Aunt Catherine didn't think of God, and I'm sure she's right now having a marvelous life somewhere. You see, God doesn't care if you think about him or not, or think about it. Doesn't matter in the least. What matters is what you're thinking and how you're using your thinking. So you've been given this wonderful gift, this gift of mind, this gift of imagination, this gift of creativity. Now you have to learn how to use that. So you have to say, I'm living, moving, and having my being in the law itself. So let's picture the law all around you. And let's know that every time you think, you're putting something in to this thing called the law. And if you put something into it, it has to come out the other end, so to speak. It has to come out the other end as what you want, you see, as what you want. So close your eyes a moment. Let's see if we can't do something here. So let's just feel this thing called the law all around us. Let's feel it as something a little bit more solid than the air. But let's know that it exists there. Now let's think in to that. And as we think into that, let's think something. Let's think health into the law. Now, we put that in the law. And that health now, the idea of health, has to start collecting. Has to start collecting from this law everything to build up that health. And along with that, while you're thinking health, you must do something. You must start to eat better. You must start to think better thoughts about yourself. You see, the law can only do for you what is in your mind. It cannot change your mind. It will never do that. So if you think I can think health and the law is going to deliver me health, but I can go out tonight and just drink and smoke and carry on and I'll have health, I doubt that seriously. You have to do something on your own. This is where the intelligence comes in. This is where the wisdom comes in. But you have to know that this law works all the time. So as you think any thought, you have to know that that thought has the power to become reality. It has the power to manifest itself on this plane of action. So put something into the law right now that you want. Be it health, wealth, relationships, or creative self-expression. And if you put it into the law, in your imagination, see it going down a conveyor belt. And as it's going down the conveyor belt, things are added to it to give it flesh, to give it body, to give it substance. So that it can dwell on this plane of action. But you have to keep that going and you have to see that. And then lo and behold, at the end of the conveyor belt, out pops the product that you want. Out pops the product. When you're ready, you can come back. So you see, this is a very simple teaching. It's not convoluted. It merely states that what you're thinking about, you're going to bring about. What is in a man's heart is going to come about. As a man thinketh in his heart, which means the feeling. So we're going to get the feeling, and we're going to get the thought going. And we're going to drop it onto that conveyor belt. And then we're going to let it go so that it can do its work for us. But the problem is we keep taking it off, we keep looking at it, we keep changing our minds about it. This idea of the secret, this idea of, it's never been a secret, people. People have known about this for thousands and thousands of years. All of a sudden, the big secret's out. Well, it's been out forever and a day. So I don't know why they thought that was such a great thing to call it the secret. Now there are a lot of people that have never heard of it for some reason. But in your everyday life, you use this constantly. You use this constantly, this law, and you just keep forgetting it. What's the easiest one to do? You can manufacture a parking spot for yourself. You can all do that. How many times do you put on the conveyor belt? I haven't talked to John for the longest time. And before you know it, the phone rings. Oh, it's John. I haven't talked to you in years. What made you call? Just got a thought I should call you. You see, we have to know that this works. Why do we keep reading one book after the other? And we say, oh, yeah, the law, the secret. Oh, yeah, I know it. And then you go right off and don't use it. You go right off and don't use it, and you pretend it doesn't exist because you're so steeped in what the world has told you. Instead of learning to think for yourself and learning to prove this for yourselves, it's the easiest thing in the world to prove. But what happens? You think you've asked for something too big. And you think, well, that's too big. This thing called the law certainly can't do that one. I don't care if it's a secret or what it is. This is entirely too big for this thing. We're talking about God here, people. You know, you don't have God and the law. You have God as the law. God has to work through the law the same way you do. Why? Because it's the mind of God and it's your mind working together, creating this thing called the law of cause and effect. So, what causes do you set up for yourself? What causes do you set up for yourself? Do you totally love yourself? Do you totally love yourself? Are you completely thankful for everything? Are you glad that you're alive? Are you glad with the occupation that you have? Are you glad about your mate? You see, you have to make up your mind to be glad about these things and be thankful about these things. You know, everyone thinks life is horrible. Life's not horrible. We make it horrible with our thinking. Look around and see how wonderful life is, how beautiful life is. See, and let that beauty and think about beauty. Think about those things. It's done with the mind. Over the weekend, I had the occasion to watch Brilliant Minds, John Nash's story. And you know, he was a schizophrenic. And at one point, I thought, oh my, he'll never live through this one. And they were giving him shock treatments. And the wife said, well, how many does he need? And the man said, 5 days a week for the next 10 weeks. So wonder he had a brain left. And then he stopped taking his meds and so forth. Well, he was schizophrenic. He saw things. He saw illusions. Now, what did he say about that? He went off his medication. He said, I will do this on my own. I will not pay any attention to the things I do not want. When the illusion comes up, I will not feed it. I will look the other way. I will not feed it. Still alive today and still at Princeton teaching. What happened? He learned to control his thinking. He learned to control his mind. We don't learn to control our thinking. We're always thinking the worst of things. We're always thinking something is going to happen. And we entertain these thoughts. We entertain them. Every time you entertain a thought that you don't want, you're breathing life into it, for goodness sakes. It's in the law. It has to do something. Oh, I didn't want that. Well, yeah, but you thought about it enough, and now you've got it. You've got it. So think what you want to think. Come in.
Hello.
Coming in from all over tonight. So you have to make up your mind on the inside of life what you want and who you are. Always look for the highest ideal about yourself. That's why we say gods and goddesses. That's why I tell you people that you're brilliant, that you're wonderful, that you're splendid individuals, that you're divine beings. That is to give you a different way to think about yourself. You're not that horrible little child that your mother told or scolded or your father scolded. You are no longer those things. Give that up. Become the person you want to become. You have an ideal inside of you of who you want to be. Make it the highest ideal and then strive for that. If you don't, your consciousness stays at the same level. The whole idea in life is to learn, to learn, to learn. And to learn more and to learn more. Every time you learn something, you've advanced your consciousness in some way. You've advanced your consciousness in some way. So think bigger and better thoughts about yourself. Start there. If you want to put something into the law, and if you want to look at it this way, do you think that this thing called the law wants to give you something when you're mean, hateful? I don't think so. I don't think so. You have to start to like yourself. You have to start to love yourself. You have to know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yay! So get a plan for yourself in your own mind of who you want to be and what you want to bring into your life. Life is not just happening to you. You are the happening. You have to put in your mind and see with this wonderful thing called your imagination what it is that you want. And then let this thing called the law do the work for you. Do the work for you. I've used this example many times about the law. It's like the United States Post Office. You write a letter and you put it in a box here in L.A. and it arrives someplace on the East Coast to the person that it was intended to. You have to have that much faith in the thing called the law. But you don't have the faith in the law. You have the faith in the United States Post Office. You see? And the law does the same thing. You put it in. It comes out the other end of what you want. It comes out the way you want it. So it starts always inside of you, in your thinking, in your consciousness. And what we want to do is bring our consciousness up to a higher level. to a higher level. That's all we're ever doing. Anyone in this room, or everyone in this room, has had this example. If you were not getting something, and you were not liking yourself, and you changed your mind and started to like yourself, did you not notice that what you wanted came to you? It does. It comes to you every time. As soon as you change your mind about yourself. But this law is an immutable law. It works for everybody. It works for everybody. Exactly the same way. Through your thinking. Through your mind. And everyone in this room has a mind. Now, a lot of people say, yes, my mind is as good as yours, and this, that, and the other thing. You know, years ago, I was almost assured that when they were handing out minds, they forgave me a faulty one. Yes, for years I thought that about myself. I thought there's something wrong with my thinking. There's something wrong here. I'm not thinking correctly. Fortunately, 30 or 35 years ago, I got into religious science. And I was able to change my mind about myself. I was able to change my mind about myself. Learn to change your mind about yourself. We have to start raising our own selves. Get rid of all those voices in your head. Those parental voices. That critic that's in there. Tell it to shut up. If you don't, you're not going to get out of life what you want. It was Mary Baker Eddy who said, you must argue with your mind like a lawyer before a judge, and you must always make sure that you win. But we allow our minds to win, because the mind can come up with all kinds of clever little things. And it can certainly come up with all the reasons why you should not have something. And the first thing, what's the first thing, if you want something really big, does your mind come up with? You can't afford it. You can't afford it. Money is never the issue. Money is never the issue. The only issue in life is your consciousness. Is your consciousness. If you think you can't afford it, you'll never be able to afford it. You can say, at the present moment, I'm choosing not to purchase that. But you can never say you can afford it. Because when you say you can't afford something, you just put that into the law. Now, as that little conveyor belt runs along with this idea, it's collecting all the reasons why you can't afford it. If you put, I can afford it, it starts to collect all the reasons why you can afford it. We always start out in the wrong direction, people. Why do we do that? Is it the world itself that tells us that? If you would make up your mind that this is a wonderful experience that you're having, that life is absolutely wonderful, that you're so delighted to be here, that you're glad that there's this thing called God and this thing called the law, because you can have anything you want. You can have anything you want. You're saying? But we turn it into something else. You must learn to look at your life as a vacation. You're on vacation. Now you're learning why you're on vacation. But you're having fun. You're filling yourself with joy. Now, when you fill yourself with joy, you fill yourself with thanksgiving, you fill yourself with praise, don't you think the vibrations that are going on inside of you are going to be better? Absolutely, this is proven. Now, why don't we believe in this thing called the law? You know, it's been proven scientifically. Psychologists and psychiatrists absolutely believe it. They know what the mind can do. But we seem not to. Scientists use it all the time in quantum physics. They use their mind to do something. If they think a particle is going to be a wave, it will be a wave for them. If they think it's going to be solid, it will become solid. The same thing. The same thing, the same energy. What are you doing with the energy that's all around you? What are you doing with the energy of your own thinking? Why are you so lightly thinking that your mind isn't working, or that it doesn't matter what you think? It matters what you think. It matters a great deal what you think. How many people, I was a year or so ago, had the idea in their minds that they were going to become bad people? I'm going to become a bad leaf. Where do you get that kind of thought? It's from the world, and it's from fear. You cannot say I'm one with God, all that I am is God, and then think you're going to wind up not being taken care of. Not being taken care of. Of course, you're reminding me, this is, yeah, but I don't have any money. And right here again, I will tell you, the money is never the issue. Money is never the issue. You will be taken care of. Why? Because you have put that on the conveyor belt. And it goes out and starts to collect things. And something wonderful will happen for you. The other thing to give up is to give up the idea that you have to do it all. Why the heck do you think you have to do it all? My God, you'll be worn out. You know? You have to say, here, I have a law in front of me. I have this wonderful gift, this wonderful thing. I'll let it do the work for me. All I have to do is have a clear idea of what I want and keep that idea and not let my mind or the outside world change it all the time. Circumstances on the outside have nothing to do with you. Give up that idea. Give up that idea. This government, this country, wonderful. I'm not political at all. But you think I believe in any of this stuff that's going on? Absolutely not. You see, that's a game they're playing, and I've decided not to participate in that game. You have to start looking at this as a game. It's the game of life. And you have to know that you can win the game of life. Everything's on your side to win. You see, you have the key. You have the secret to life. And that is this thing called the law of cause and effect. But yet, you will not use it, or you use it willy-nilly. You use it willy-nilly. This thing called God does not know the difference between big and small. Give up that idea that God knows a dollar or $1 million. That God knows the difference between an elephant and an ant. No. Only we know that. Only we know that. God sees everything as good and everything the same way. It's no discriminating. No discriminating. Everything is the same. So this law works for everybody. And it works for everyone the same way. It's an immutable law. And you use it by using your mind. Now, my very famous thing about this thing called the law is goodness has nothing to do with it. Goodness has nothing to do with it. It rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. You see. But it would behoove you to be good. Goodness is a side effect of raising your consciousness, of realizing that you are a God. I've said this many times and I'll say it again. What you are learning here you think, oh, I want money, oh, I want a relationship, oh, I want creative self-expression, or I want health. And you go after those. And that's all well and good to go after those. But what I want to point out to you, all the things that you are looking for to bring into your life are side effects. And you're always going for the side effect. Don't go for the side effect. Go for the consciousness. If you have a wealthy consciousness, you have to be wealthy. If you have a healthy consciousness, you have to be healthy. A creative consciousness, you have to be creative. You have to do it in consciousness. Life is an inside job. It always starts inside of you and moves outward. But we start to get confused and we see the world out there. And we start to compare things and so forth. Then we say, well, look, he got it, he got it. Oh, that man has money, must have been into drugs or something. You know, when you see anyone with money, say, thank God they have money, because that means I can have money also. And then start to ask for a wealthy consciousness and ideas of how to obtain that. You see, ask for ideas. If we live, move, and have our being in the mind of God, you must be able to use that. And if we say God is infinite and intelligent, then all the intelligence in the universe has to be contained within that mind. And we are some part of that mind. This universe is holographic. And what we know about a hologram is, if you take a little piece, you have the whole. And we say in religious science, what's known in one spot in mind has to be known in all spots in mind. So if I know something, you people have to know it also. But you have to open yourself to that. You have to open yourself to that. You have to start thinking. What we say, thinking correctly, that means seeing the truth and the beauty all around you, instead of dealing with the facts. And all the world does is teach you facts. And you believe those facts and you say those facts are true. They're not true. They're facts. Facts change. Truth remains the same. Always go for truth. Why do you want to build your home on a flimsy foundation of facts? Build your life on truth. The truth that there is a law out there. There's some kind of a mechanism going on that you can use, that you can put your thought into, and it will go someplace and do something for you. It will bring into your life what you want. But you have to sit and do that, and then you have to believe that. And then think about that every day. How many people make a New Year's resolution? They write it down on a piece of paper, they put it in a drawer, and they don't look at it till the next year. And they say, oh my God, I didn't get that. Well, of course you didn't get it, you idiot. You have to keep it in the front of your mind. You have to keep it in the front of your mind. So know that you're able to do that, that you're creative, that you have an energy inside of you that's always going out from you. An energy that's always going out from you. And that it's doing something. And it's going to draw back the energy that you put out. The energy that you put out. How many people here know or feel this energy? Yes. So you know that it exists. So why are you so damn timid? Why don't you use it? Remember? Be bold, and mighty forces will come to your aid. Be bold. I love to be bold. I do all kinds of things. And I'm bold. I drive my brother crazy. He thinks it's awful. How can you do that? Because he's not used to, he's a Christian. and he's meek. They can't be bold. That would be taking what? Power away from God. You can't take power away from God, people. You can't take power away from God. Give up this idea that God is against you. That God wants to hold anything back from you. Change your mind. See this thing. Call it anything you want. Do I know what God is? Absolutely not. I know bits and pieces. And I know a little bit more and a little bit more all the time. Will I ever know God? Absolutely not. No man will ever see the face of God. Because first of all, God doesn't have a face. Second of all, God is infinite. And we cannot comprehend that with a finite mind. We cannot comprehend that. But know that there's a power out there. Know there's something out there that likes you. Something out there that likes you. Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever said, oh, God likes me? Ha, ha, ha. You have to start to do that for yourselves. God loves you very much. You can have what you want by using this thing called the law. So separate this thing out, this thing called the law, from religion. Separate it out from this thing called God and look at it as a mechanical device. That is exactly what it is. It's a mechanical device that you can learn how to use. You can call it mystical and magical. You can call it anything you want. You know, sometimes I call it the Play-Doh factory. You can do anything and call it anything. But the main thing is to use it and not to sit around and say to yourself, oh, I'm weak. I'm powerless. It's just life. I'm going through it. But what the heck? I'm not really enjoying it. Learn to enjoy your life. Learn to see how powerful you are. Learn to see how magnificent you are. Learn to use this thing called the law. It's there, for goodness sakes. And we see it all the time. People use it all the time. My favorite one is the country western people. Whenever they have their country western music awards, I always tune into those things. Why? Because they'll always stand up, one, two, or three of them will stand up and say, I always knew this was going to happen to me. I always knew this was going to happen to me. I always saw myself as successful. You only find that, by the way, with country western people. Turn into the Tonys or turn on the Oscar. I want to thank mommy, and I want to thank my husband, and I want to thank this, and I want to thank that. Nobody ever says, I always saw this, I always knew I was going to be an actor. Why country western people? Because they're simple. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I mean they are simple. They understand the law. This is what I always thought about. When I was going across country the other month, we stopped at the Loretta Young Kitchen and Museum. This combined thing. And it showed her where she was raised in some hollow, someplace, holler, some holler, and the shack and stuff she lived in. Now, what do you think got her out of that? She believed in herself. She knew that she was worthy, deserving, totally lovable. The other thing that they're steeped in, and we can go up one side and down the other, and please don't get me wrong when I say these different things. I'm not against religion. I just don't want it. They're religious people. And somewhere along the way, they say, God is good. And God's going to give me this. You know my friend Doug the Baptist? He always says, well, I just ask God for this and then I get it. You see, he has no idea that he's using the law, but he does it. You don't have to know that you're using the law. What you have to know is that you're using your mind and that you're changing your mind to see yourself as wonderful people. that are worthy of all this stuff. That are worthy of all this stuff. So we see this. Everywhere we look, we see the law. So why isn't everyone demonstrating? Why isn't everyone demonstrating? If I tell you this is an immutable law, it's always in existence, it's always been in existence. You know, they didn't make it up just 40 years ago or something. It's been here since day one. And here we are into this so many thousands of years and so forth, and we still don't quite believe that it's true. Because we're brought up with the idea that we're not worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. That we matter. The cute story about a lady who moved into town. She was going to send her children to church, and the closest church was a religious science church. So she sent the kids to the religious science church. And when they came home, the mother said, "Well, what did you learn?" The kid says, "Well, we learned wonderful me, that we're just absolutely wonderful." The mother said, "Well, you're never going back there again." You see, we're afraid to be wonderful. We're afraid that we'll overstep. We're afraid that we'll become conceited. Don't be afraid that you'll become conceited. Have confidence in yourself and have confidence in this thing called God. Here's the other question that bugs me. If you keep going to church all the time and throwing money in there and whatever else you do, and you're not getting what you want, do you have any confidence in God whatsoever or in that religion whatsoever? No, you have no confidence in it. Get confidence in yourself. Yes, how about that? Self-confidence. Oh my goodness, you mean I could really like myself? Yes, you could really like yourself. You can't like yourself too much. The same way they say you can spoil a child. There's no such thing as spoiling a child. You cannot give a child too much love. You cannot spoil a child. Other things may happen, but you cannot do that. So, spoil yourselves. Spoil yourself. Give yourselves permission to have this gift. To have this gift called the law. To have this gift called the law. That's what metaphysics is all about. You know, Ernest Holmes never wanted this to turn into a religion. But other people thought, oh, isn't this great? What a wonderful idea. We'll turn it into a religion, and then we'll build churches, and then we'll collect money to pay for the parking lot. Yes, this is what happens. You know, when you start to collect money for the parking lot, God goes out the window. Because now, what are you giving your sermon on? You have to come up with something that's going to fill up that basket so you can pay for that parking lot. So you're going to tell people, usually, what they want to hear and not what is true. When I was going to the Baptist church with my friend Doug the Baptist, the minister there gave horrible talks, horrible, horrible, horrible. One day he gave a really wonderful talk. And I went up to him, his name was Al Kraft. And I said, "You gave a good talk today. Why don't you do that more often?" And he said to me, "The congregation would never put up with it. They don't want to hear that type of thing. You see, the congregation hires the minister. So the minister has to tell the congregation what they want to hear." This is not true in religious science, by the way. It's not true in religious science. The minister is the head of the church, not the congregation. And in all of them, the Presbyterians and all, that's what Presbyterian means. Little presbyters goes around doing things. So you have to think. You have to think, what is going on here? And stop listening to all this twaddle that's going on all over. And get back to basics. Get back to basics and say, there's a law out there that can do something for me. It can cure me. It can bring me what I want. It can do anything for you. But you have to use it. You have to put your idea on the conveyor belt and let it collect instead of pulling it off all the time or changing your mind. I very rarely change my mind about something until after it demonstrates and then I don't want it. Then I say, well, now I'll start a new process. I'll get something else. But if you keep taking it off and on and off and on and off and on, you'll never learn how to demonstrate. You'll never learn how to demonstrate. So pick one thing, and if you think it's too big for God, pick something that you think isn't too big for God. Think of something that isn't too big for you to conceive. And put it in there. And see what will happen to it. And then look around to get confirmation all the time. You'll get confirmations all the time that it's working. And then before you know it, it'll be in front of you. And then you'll say, how did that get there? I don't remember asking for that. You see? And then you can ask and ask and ask and ask and ask, you see? That's the other thing that people think. I can only ask for one or two things. Oh, please. You know, more please. Always keep asking, keep asking. Keep asking. It'll work for you. So, change your mind about this thing called God. See, God is something different than you've been thinking. I don't know what you've been thinking about God. Many people think it's a man somewhere. You know? Well, they do. Lives in a place called heaven with gold and pearly gates and all those things. It's all right to think those things. I don't think it's going to get you anywhere, but it's a nice fantasy. It's a nice fantasy. But if you look at God as something different, if you look at God as an energy, if you look at God as an intelligence, and if you look at God as a law that's immutable, that operates always, always. It operates through everything, this law. This law of a cause and effect is nature. It's everything. It works throughout everything. So learn to use it by learning to think. By learning to think bigger, better thoughts about yourself. Who wants to drag around thinking bad thoughts about themselves? You know? Oh, I'm miserable on this. Oh, give it up. Give it up. No one wants to hear that anymore. We're past that idea. We're past that idea. If you're miserable, why do you think you're miserable? Because of your thinking. Your thinking is thinking. Change your thought. Change your thought and your whole mood will change. Your whole view on life will change. Everything will change. But it won't change as long as you think horrible things about yourself or horrible things about life itself or about this thing called God. Say to God every day, thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. I have no complaints whatsoever. I had a telephone call today. The lady on the other end of the phone was driving her car while she's talking to me. I had a running commentary of all the idiots that were on the highway. Get out of my way, you rear end. Get out of this, do that. Now, is this any way to let your mind go? This is not disciplining the mind. It's not disciplining your mind. The key to life is discipline. In anything you do, if you want to succeed, you have to use discipline. Always going to be that. You can't escape it. You cannot escape it. You have to discipline yourself. And when you say to your mind, I'm going to do this, and damn it, do it. Because the next time you do it, the mind will say, You didn't do it the last time. What makes you think you're going to do it this time? You must always win. You must always win. And here again, start out with something simple. I'm going to get up 10 minutes earlier. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Learn to build discipline for yourself. Learn to build discipline for yourself. Another client that I have, and most people know her, some people know her in here, I know Andy does, and you may, Mammon. You know Mammon? No. Well, anyway, she used to come all the time. She's very busy working. She was, the last time I saw her, she said she finally gave up the idea that she wasn't disciplined. How did she do it? She went to boot camp. And she got up every day and went. As soon as that was completed, she realized, my God, I do have discipline. See, somebody along the line, probably a parent, said, man, the trouble with you is you have no discipline. So all these years, now, by the way, she's got several degrees. You have to have discipline to get several degrees. But she never thought she had discipline. So if you think you don't have discipline, prove it to yourself that you do. Whatever you think you don't have, prove that you do have it. Prove that you do have it. You're building your mind. You're building your consciousness. You're building your character. You're building your character. You haven't heard that for the longest time. Didn't they used to have things that were called character building? This was to build your character. You don't hear that anymore. This is what we're trying to do, is we're trying to build our character. What are we trying to build our character? Aha. You have to have an ideal inside of yourself. When I say an ideal inside of myself, what am I? I am trying to think God thoughts after it. I'm trying to think God thoughts after it. So that's the ideal I have in here. Now I have to bring that ideal out here. But it starts in here. So what ideal do you have of yourself? Hold that ideal and work on that ideal till it manifests on the outside of life for you. It works. It works every time. All right. Have some cards. Believing that circumstances around him are stronger than the power within him, that man is defeated before the race is won. Circumstance around him is stronger than the power within him. You have to know that you have a power within you that's bigger, better, and stronger than any circumstance whatsoever. Any circumstance whatsoever. You know, that's the whole idea. Don't judge by appearances. Don't listen to what the world is telling you. There's a power within you. Strive to cultivate your intelligence and to express better, bigger, and superior, I love that word, superior thoughts on all matters about which you may think. On all matters about which you would think. Years ago, and I don't know if I'll get this one correct, small minds talk about people. Average minds talk about events. Brilliant minds talk about ideas. We can all sit around, it's very nice, isn't it, to talk about people. That's a wonderful little thing, and to gossip and all this. But is it building your consciousness? Is it building your consciousness? Are you wasting time? You see? It's not going to get you where you want to go. So think bigger, better, and superior thoughts about yourself and about life, about this experience. Get enthusiastic about this experience you're going through. Otherwise, it's going to end soon. You know, I hate to tell you, we're not going to live forever. Just, that's the way it is. Learn to train the mind learn to train the mind to clear and exact thinking. Clear and exact thinking. You see, we get muddled. We don't think clearly. Think clearly. Think exactly. Always make it a point of moving forward your mind. Ever seeking to unfold your power of thought and to develop hidden possibilities. Move your mind forward. Move your thinking forward. Do you know that only 2% of the population reads a book after the age of 25? Did wonder how Barnes & Noble stays in business. Pick up something, read something, stretch your mind. Watch the educational station, the history station, do something. Just don't sit around in a vacuum. The inner convictions which control one's aims, desires, and motives constitute the real thought of the individual and wholly determine the cause of his life and personal destiny. The inner convictions which control one's aims, desires, and motives constitute the real thought of the individual and wholly determine the cause of his life and personal destiny. What are your inner convictions? Life is wonderful. Life is great. God is good. There's a law out there. Are these convictions? Do you have these convictions, or are they just idle little thoughts going through? Make it a conviction. How do you do that? It's the same way when people said to me, faith, I don't have any faith. Well, I'm sorry. If you want faith, if you want conviction, you have to do something about that. You have to do something about that. Oh, well, that person has more faith than I do. No, they don't have any more faith than you do. We all have the same amount of faith. We just don't use it. We don't concentrate on it. The same way with conviction. Say to yourself, I have conviction. I'm a strong person. I knew that the mind of God is operating in, as in through me right now, and I'm thinking wonderful thoughts. You see? But here, once again, what do? You separate yourself and you think you're an individual. You separate yourself and you think you're an individual. You think, oh, well, God helps other people. God doesn't help me, and I'm separated. I'm not the same as this person or that person. There's only one, people. There's only one. Don't separate yourself. Man's problems are mental in nature. They have no existence outside of themselves. Does anyone realize what I just said? Man's problems are mental in nature. They have no existence outside of themselves. And it has been discovered that nearly all will yield up their solutions and subjected to a broad and exact analysis. What is going on in your mind has no existence whatsoever. It's just going on in there. You can change what's going on. It has no existence outside of themselves. Your worries and your things or whatever you're doing, do you think they hop around out here and do things? Have you ever seen them anywhere? They have no existence. They have no existence. But people think, oh, this is real. It's not real. It's not real at all. They have no existence whatsoever. You start to breathe life into them. How do you start to breathe life into them? You throw them on the damn conveyor belt. You throw them on the conveyor belt and they start to take life. But they have no existence. No existence. Does anyone know what the only existence there is? I'll answer. It's God. It's love. It's truth. That's the only existence there is. Nothing else exists, people. Only in your mind the rest exists. You make it up. You make it up. So if you make all this stuff up that's bad, why don't you start making up good things? You know? Why don't you start making up good things? Why don't you see yourself as the wonderful people that you are? Why don't you see yourself having the things that you want? It's done the same way. It's done the same way. See, this thing called the law doesn't care. Now, isn't that awful? doesn't care. It only does what you tell it to. It will not talk you out of anything, and it will not talk you into anything. You have to do that. Strive to be on the outside what you idealize on the inside. Strive to be on the outside what you idealize on the inside. Everyone has a concept of themselves on the inside. Now, bring that to the forefront and live your ideal. Live your convictions. Give your mental life to the matters that are absolutely essential to your welfare. Give your mental life to the matters that are absolutely essential to your welfare. To your welfare. What does that mean? The economy has nothing to do with anything. The price of gas has nothing to do with anything. Whatever is going on in the outside of life has nothing to do with anything. But yet you put power there. You put thought there. You put energy there. And you start to develop that thing. Put your absolute essential to your welfare. Every thought that you think should be essential to your welfare. Think of that. And the balance of your thought to themes of beauty, truth, and progress. Beauty, truth, and progress. How many people today caught a beautiful thought? How many people today saw something beautiful? You see, that's what you must look for, the beauty in life. It's all around us. Beauty is everywhere. Find it. Think on those thoughts. I think it was Paul who said that. I didn't know him. But. Proceed to use your thinking faculty and take care that it does not use you. And that's what happens with us. We let our mind use us instead of using our mind. You are not your mind. Your mind is yours. Yours to use. How are you using it? Why do you think that your mind has a life of its own? Why do you think that you are your mind? Because it tells you all this stuff? Because you fall for the idea that it's your friend? Your mind is not your friend. It will never be your friend. It's an impossibility. It just won't do it. So accept that and say, listen here, I'm taking control. I'm taking control of my thinking. I'm going to think the thought that I want to think, and I'm going to feel the feeling that I want to feel. Now, there's a big one, isn't it? So every time a bad thought comes in, tell it to go away. Don't entertain it. Don't entertain something that you don't want to come into your life. Shut the door on it. Master your mind and guide it intelligently. That is, exercise discrimination in all your thinking. Discrimination in all your thinking. We don't discriminate. We think this thought, that thought. We don't care if it's bad thought or good thought. As long as my mind keeps thinking, isn't that just wonderful? Just told me all this garbage. But that was all right. See, I don't allow my mind to tell me garbage. I do not allow it to do that to me. I say, stop. Right here and right now. This is what I think. This is the way I want it to be. I'm not listening to you. I'm not listening to you. Don't be convinced by your mind. It's very convincing. Very convincing. I used this one earlier. The wise man changes his mind. The fool never. So be a wise man. Learn to change your mind. Learn to see yourselves as the gods and goddesses you are. Learn to see this thing, God, as a giver. As a giver. Always wanting to give you something. Why is that so logical? Because the only way that God can come into this world is through you. The only way that God can come into this world is through you. So God wants to give you everything so that God can participate in this whole thing. You get it? So God can participate in this whole thing. And then know that this thing called God works through this thing, which is mechanical, called the law. There's no secret to the law. You put something in here, it comes out over there. That's all the law. And you can have book after book after book, and you can have them tell you this, that, and the other thing. It's still going to be the same. What you put in, you get out. Garbage in, garbage out. It's always going to be that way. Now, the other thing that people worry about is, oh, I'm not doing this quite right. I'm not doing this quite right. Did I use the correct word? Did I do this? Did I do that? This is not witchcraft. You do not have to do the exact word. What you have to do is have the right feeling. You have to be able to have a sincere heart, a sincere feeling. Don't worry about the language that you're using. I'll be right there.
Got to roll.
Get that car started. Oh, coming back, let's see.
Exact wording.
Oh, the exact wording, thank you. The exact wording doesn't matter because God doesn't use language. God does not use words, people. God uses feeling. God uses feeling. So, what are you feeling? What are you feeling about yourself? And when you want something, create the feeling. When you are able to create the feeling, it will start to take clothes and dwell among you. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.